The government spent hundreds of billions of taxpayer dollars to help businesses during the pandemic. But there are growing questions.
Who got it, and did the people who got it use it in the way that it was supposed to be used? Was there any fraud in the program? And also, was the program effective?
We'll tell you why answers could be coming soon. Plus, a top exec departs Adidas amid diversity concerns. And a tell-all book by President Trump's niece is now delayed. It's Wednesday, July the 1st. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. China's new security law allowing it to exert a stronger hand over Hong Kong is sparking new protests today. Thousands of demonstrators were met with police in riot gear, firing pepper spray, and backed by water cannons. Arrests have been made under the new law. It includes penalties of up to life in prison for a range of crimes, including subverting state power and colluding with foreign forces. The Wall Street Journal's John Lyons is in Hong Kong.
I think the big takeaway from the new security law, which went into force last night, is that it was written far more vaguely and open to interpretation than maybe even the pessimists expected, giving very broad authorities to mainland Chinese security services, prosecutors who will be helping enforce the law, and potentially meaning big changes for Hong Kong.
Despite some signs of an economic rebound, the chair of the Federal Reserve is expressing caution about the future. Jerome Powell testified on the Hill yesterday.
The path forward for the economy remains extraordinarily uncertain and will depend in large part on our success in containing the virus. A full recovery is unlikely to occur until people are confident that it's safe to engage in a broad range of activities. The path forward will also depend on policy actions taken at all levels of government to provide relief and support the recovery for as long as needed.
Powell, along with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin, both pledged to consider additional government relief with the hope of curbing lasting damage from the pandemic. Their testimony comes as some assistance programs are set to expire. We're reporting the global head of human resources at Adidas is retiring after employee complaints about corporate culture and a lack of diversity. Karen Parkin said she's leaving to pave the way for change, according to a staff memo we saw. Parkin didn't respond to requests for comment. In a press release, Adidas said Parkin always acted in the best interest of the company and its people, and that a new HR leader will drive change. We're reporting that the National Security Agency strongly disagreed with other intelligence agencies in their view that Russia paid bounties for killing U.S. troops in Afghanistan. This comes as the White House has tried to play down reports of Russian payments as unverified. The NSA declined to comment. A delay in the publication of a tell-all book by President Trump's niece, Mary. A New York judge granted an injunction to the president's younger brother, Robert. The family has argued the book violates a confidentiality agreement. The book's publisher, Simon & Schuster, says it will immediately appeal. Coming up, it's day one of a new quarter in the oil markets. We'll explore what could be ahead based on the unprecedented quarter that just ended. Oil prices have recovered after crashing to record lows during the pandemic, yet traders are questioning if this can hold up. Our David Hadari covers energy from London.
We're now somewhere in between that pre-coronavirus $60 level and those record lows that we saw in what some people in the energy sector are calling Black April. When prices hit rock bottom, the world's major oil producers, including OPEC, its allies, and the US and Canada as well, coordinated to slash production. Since then, those cuts have started to take effect, and the easing of lockdown measures in a lot of the world's big economies has allowed demand to return to relative normality. We're not quite there yet, but things are improving. Whether this rally is sustainable depends on the demand, which is primarily driven by either the coronavirus or the emergence from it, and it's also driven by supply. How much OPEC and its allies can cut? How quickly does US production come back online? How much oil is there floating around the world at any given moment? So if OPEC sticks to its promises and the US doesn't ramp up too quickly, and there is no major second wave, this rally could be sustainable.
Looking ahead, General Mills and Macy's release quarterly earnings today, and the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, seen as the replacement to NAFTA, comes into effect today. Coming up, the government gave out hundreds of billions to help businesses across the country during the pandemic, but didn't make all the details public. But that's about to change, and we'll explain why it's important. The government has distributed hundreds of billions of dollars to help businesses survive during the pandemic. The names of recipients under the Payment Protection Program were kept under wraps because of privacy concerns, but now the government has agreed to make the names of some of the higher-end recipients public, and we could know in the next few days. The Wall Street Journal's Ryan Tracy has been covering aid programs during the pandemic. He joins us now. Ryan, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Why is this information being released? Why is it that members of Congress, news organizations, including Dow Jones, the publisher of the Wall Street Journal, why is this information that's being pushed for?
Well, I think the number one reason is this is taxpayer money, effectively. If the borrowers in this program won't have to pay their loans back, that's because taxpayers are going to cover that cost. And when you have hundreds of billions of dollars of taxpayer money being spent, there's always questions about that, right? Who got it? And did the people who got it use it in the way that it was supposed to be used? Was there any fraud in the program? And also, was the program effective, right? Did it reach the small businesses that it was intended to help or not? And the only way to do that in a comprehensive way is to know the names of the companies that got it so that we don't have to take the government's word for it being effective, right? So that the public can look for itself.
Let's talk about the amount of money that has been distributed, the value of these loans, and are these loans often forgiven?
Right. So the average size of loan in this program is a little over $100,000. We're talking about a total of more than $500 billion to more than 4.7 million businesses. The companies that we'll be seeing in the disclosure are large companies, but a lot of small companies got the money too. In fact, most of the companies who got it were small. And the expectation is that a lot of this money will be forgiven ultimately as long as the company spent the lion's share of it on payroll and other expenses that the government laid out that you could use it on, like rent and things like that.
A big part of this release is about accountability. Was this money well spent? Based off the release of this information, how will it be used to determine the effectiveness of this program?
Sure. So what we'll know a lot that we didn't know before once we see this information, right? So we're going to know the names of the largest companies that received the funds, and that will allow us to look and see, well, how were those companies doing, right? Did they were they in a situation where they were like a restaurant where they were closed and really needed the money to keep people on the payroll? And not only the situation that they were in, but what did they actually do, right? Did a company get the money and lay off 100 people 2 weeks later? You know, that's not what was supposed to happen, right? So these are the things that media organizations, public interest groups, government watchdog organizations like inspectors general and other agencies like that, Congress will all be asking these questions and looking at this list.
There has been a push for this to be released. Has there been any resistance?
The Trump administration did initially resist doing this. Their point was that if we give you the names, if we publish the names, and we've also told you the amount of the loan, we've effectively given you confidential business information. The reason for that is that the loan amount is based on payroll. So you could do a pretty simple mathematical calculation to figure out a company's payroll if you knew the loan amount. And that's arguably confidential. So that was their point. They've reached a compromise where they're going to release the names of their large recipients only, and that they won't release the specific loan amounts, but they'll give you a range. So they'll say this loan is between 5 and 10 million. This loan is smaller than that. And that's how they got around that issue. And, you know, this is going to continue to be a debate. There's going to be press for all the names to be disclosed, and we'll see how it goes.
Beyond this program, beyond this pandemic, will the release of this information perhaps shape policy in the future if there is a need for the government to step in some type of crisis such as this?
Absolutely. I think the expectation will be what we learn from this program ought to inform future policy decisions. I guess that's not always the case, right? Sometimes we don't learn well from our history, but certainly that's what you would hope, right? That you had a totally new program created in a crisis. Did it work, right? And what did we learn from that? And the release of this information is going to help us answer that question.
The Wall Street Journal's Ryan Tracy. Ryan, great to have you here.
Thanks again. Great to be here.
And that's what's news for this morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. We're back with another updated episode this evening. And as always, more stories on WSJ.com. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.